This NFL Draft Props and NBA Best Bets edition of the Sports Gamble Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, golf, MLB, MMA, NHL, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, we're also brought to you by NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a free chance to score a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app.
This is Brock Purdy from Iowa State, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
To the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, second the money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kram?
Oh, the NFL is king, Sean.
The NFL is king. Speaking of king, look at my banner. If you're watching on youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast, had to draw, had to break out the most accurate mock drafter for 2023. Of course, I was crowned by the Huddle Report and the Mock Draft Database. Shout out to those two great publications. Shout out for site manager Adam Pelletier for sending it this to me. Hopefully, Ryan, one of us can raise another banner this year. I just dropped my official mock draft. I'm already hemming and hawing, like, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. Gut instinct, you just got to fire. Get the mock draft out. I do one mock draft. It is my final mock draft, my only one. Get it over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. But the draft is only a couple days away, Ryan. We got an awesome live stream, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast, draft watch party. We're going to be hanging out, having some cocktails. We have the NFL draft bingo exclusively in the SGPN app, $100 SGPN gift cards, bunch of great guests. It's going to be a grand old time.
A lot of guests. My mock draft will become, I didn't want to stomp all over yours, so mine will be coming out either later tonight in the wee hours when I can't sleep, or tomorrow morning. Couple of late tweaks. I have swapped some team position ideas, and also I was getting working through a little kerfuffle getting the old mock draft getting sent over to the rankings organization. Turns out I wasn't, I wasn't on the invite list. I had to send over some samples of my work, and I just simply said, oh, I co-host the Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green.
Yes.
Immediately got the invite.
Well, so it's pressure.
You're right. Literally the guy, in South Park, when they put their balls in the microwave, you're just walking around with the wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Good times. And, mock draft season is here. Ryan, we're going to do, you know, just kind of keep loading up some more NFL draft props.
Yeah,
we're going to go position by position, our favorite quarterback draft prop bets, our favorite running back draft prop bets. We got them all covered.
We've done it every way you can.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's
so basically we're going to have to put out the full list as a graphic.
Yes.
Our full draft portfolio.
And of course, if you want the sheet, you can get it. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, all our futures in one convenient place. So you don't have to write them down. And Ryan, before we even do that,
yes,
we're going to talk a little NBA playoff best bets, and shout out to Underdog Fantasy again. Underdog Fantasy, super fun with the higher lower, great for NBA playoffs, great for NHL playoffs. Shout out to the Hockey Gambling Podcast guys. They've been giving out some winners over an Underdog, drunk Syracuse fan. I forget what his real name is. He's been giving out some winners. It's just a great handle. Drunk Cuse fan is his handle on Twitter. Love that guy. Underdog again. Also, what's really cool is if you're in the state of Florida, they just announced the Champions game for the state of Florida, which, you know, it's new and you're able to get down. Very fun. And again, player versus player format in Florida. It's called Champions. So if you've been in Florida and hadn't signed up before, This is a good time to hop in over there. And also Canada. I forget, you know, we always forget to mention our good buddies up north, Ryan, but Canada also has Underdog Fantasy. So plenty of ways to get down on some action over at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Sean, I don't think we're going to forget about Canada when we're covering the CFL, Jeff. We're definitely going to lean into the CFL. Better alt league.
Well,
better alt league.
CFL will be around for years. Has been around for years. You can't say the same thing for the UFL. Joining us on the line from the NBA gambling podcast, Lonte Smith. What's happening, Lonte?
What's up, fellas? Good to be here, man. I didn't mean to, you know, jump in on a parade. I know it's NFL season, forcing you guys to talk some NBA. So
hey, it's all right for that. We can, we can go both ways here. Talk a little hoops. Although I saw over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com a little while ago, you put out an article for some of your favorite NFL draft props. Before we get to the NBA, yeah. what do you like for the NFL draft? And unfortunately, you're also a Giants fan like Kramer. So what's your take on the Giants as well?
Well, to be honest, I know we were talking about it before we jumped on. I want, my dream scenario is to get Drake May. I know it's been a lot of chatter about, you know, us moving up to get him. So definitely would like that. I mean, second choice, I know it might be unpopular. I don't know how unpopular, but I'd rather get Rome Odunze. I think Rome is second best. Actually, he might be like 1B to Marvin Harrison. So that's my dream scenario, is to get Drake May first. And then if not, then I'll take Rome Odunze.
I do.
So
like,
after they trade down with Minnesota, Odunze falls. Dream scenario.
I do like Odunze, I think, to be the second receiver. You can get that around like plus 300. That didn't quite make my receiver bets list that I will be giving out, but I do like it. I got sidetracked with a 14-1 receiver bet, but that's coming up in just a second. But let's kick it over to the association. We've got a couple games going on. Wednesday night here. What do you like? First game, we got the Miami Heat catching 14.5 in Boston. Of course, everyone just assumes Celtics are gonna roll, completely destroy the Heat. Yeah. Any zigzag, any bounce back here for the Heat in this matchup, Lonte?
Yeah, I'm gonna lean with the Heat. I think 14.5 is the number that I last saw. I think that's the updated number. But anything over two touchdowns, I'm gonna take it with the Miami Heat. I just think, you know, that fourth quarter, late third quarter into the fourth quarter, where they kind of made a little run. I know that some of the starters were kind of out, and they kind of thought they had the game in hand, and Miami made a run, made it a little bit closer than they wanted. But I think those guys are gonna come out. And adjust. Obviously, it's a mismatch with Spo. He just doesn't have the soldiers that the Celtics have. But I do think that he'll come out with something drawn up. DeLon Wright. Look for him to get in and put some point guard. I think the big issue is they don't have a ball handler, so they're relying on Tyler Hero to kind of create all the offense. He can't score. So I think DeLon Wright will play a little bit bigger role and be able to get those guys in position. I mean, over two touchdowns, off game. We got Spoelstra coming in. I like the 14.5.
I'm with you. Again, maybe I'm crazy for liking the Heat, although you could probably talk me into the Celtics first half. That has been a machine all season. But the Celtics are interesting. Like, they dominate these teams that they're supposedly much better than, but then they kind of let them sneak back into the game. I mean, you remember the Atlanta Hawks, they lost a couple games to. Like, I don't know. I think this Celtics team really takes the foot off the gas. So in some ways, for the cover, 14.5, I think it's almost better if the Celtics get out to a big lead. Because if it's like kind of close, they might close strong. But I think if they get out to a big lead, they might take the foot off the gas. And I like the Heat. I like Spoelstra to make some adjustments. And I really like Jaime Jaquez, local kid out here. He went to Camarillo High School. And then he went to UCLA, was a part of those UCLA teams that made some runs. And he's looked pretty good helping fill in for Jimmy Butler. His player props are pretty interesting as well. So I think Jaquez keeps him around. So I'll take 14.5, Ryan.
Yeah, you see Jaquez at the gym or at the court, you're going to be in for a long day.
Oh, yeah.
got that hair whipping you in the face constantly. You know he's sweating.
Maybe that's what it is too. It's like guys, running backs who have the hair coming out of the helmet. Yep. They just look more athletic because the hair's flying around. Right. I don't know. Maybe that's why Latte has his hair long. He puts it in a helmet and looks.
No, I'm telling you, we used to call it the dread effect, but it works for any hair. Because basically,
I've never had that.
It demonstrates issue. Physics, so you get to see how amazing these guys are. Because their hair is constantly horizontal, flowing behind them. Well, beautifully.
And again, shout out to Carson Steele, but Ryan, maybe that's why we're higher on market than Carson Steele because he's got those golden locks coming out of that UCLA helmet.
Yet to see a prop on him. So both of you like the points, same as last game. So the only argument is that Spoelstra is going to have enough adjustments to make this one a little closer.
Yeah, which Mazzulla's I guess makes catching sense. Up on rewatching the town for 100 times. I was going to say that guy's a real weirdo.
Mazzulla's still a psycho, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I went back and looked at my notes from last year, and there were a lot of days where I just have a note that we're going to fade Mazzulla. And then I went back and watched some video of him. I feel like the mainstream media doesn't cover how psycho he is enough. He's got the same eye problem as some of the greats out there, including Dan Jones. I guess I'll take the points with you guys.
I'm doing my Dan Jones right now. What are you asking about?
Oh, I mean, he's processing very deep thought. He does have a degree from Duke, please.
What about the, and so you liked Wright as well, maybe in the player prop market, Lante?
Yeah, I think he'll get more minutes because, like I said, the biggest issue that they have is they're having their best players, Bam and Hero, kind of initiate the offense, which is taken away from what they can do offensively. If they're initiating, it's harder for them to score. And then you already have Bam kind of dealing with Tatum and Brown defensively. So, and Porzingis for that back. So I think that's taken away. So I look for DeLon Wright to kind of get more minutes. If you want some real DJ in action, find a book that offers first quarter player Jaylen Brown over. It's usually like around 6.5, 7. He's top 10 in points per game in the first quarter. He's running around like 7.3 or something like that. And he didn't play well. And he didn't do well in game one. I think he was kind of stagnant. I don't know if it was just Tatum's turn or, you know, they were doing some kind of thing or Tatum, you know, wanted to take over for game one. But I think he comes out assertive. And I think he has closer to double digits in that first quarter.
So DeLon Wright, higher 5.5 points over an underdog fantasy. Already got that one locked in, Ryan. And all we need is and you said Jaylen Brown or Tatum for the first quarter points?
Jaylen Brown. Yeah. Okay. I like him for the full game as well, but I love the, you know, the first quarter. Simply high, because if it is.
So we like higher 5 first quarter points for Jaylen Brown.
Oh, it's only 5. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So while we're talking this out, I'm firing over on underdog fantasy. Jaylen Brown higher 5 first quarter points. DeLon Wright higher 5.5 points total in the game.
Impressive. They offer you those first quarter lines.
Oh yeah, they got plenty of D-gen options over on the old underdog fantasy. All right, kicking it over to the second game. What do we like here, Lante? Right now, I'm seeing Pelicans catching 7.5. Against Oklahoma City. My instincts are that Oklahoma City kind of survived the Pelicans' best shot. And now this is where the younger team, quick turnaround, they kind of roll. Pelicans maybe had some momentum from that play-in game, but now it sets in, hey, shit, we don't have Zion. We could be in trouble. I kind of think Thunder roll here, but I could be talked out of it. What do you like here?
No, I can't talk you out of it. You stole my whole handicap, basically. I think that's essentially what I was thinking. My thing is, I thought that Oklahoma City didn't play well, but you saw, if you watched, like, in the third quarter, that was their best quarter. They outscored them by 6 points. But in between there was a time where they were up by, like, 9, and they kind of got stagnant with the ball. So I think Dagnall got too cute with the rotations he was playing. He usually plays, like, 10, 11 guys, but I don't know if you can do that in the playoffs. You kind of want to trim that down to like 8 or 9, especially in your first, you know, few playoff games with these guys. And I thought he just made a few mistakes just coaching wise. Shea turned the ball over way too much. So I think they'll bounce back. They'll adjust. They'll get giddy off the court because they're kind of loading up the paint because they don't have to guard him, which is taken away from what SGA does, which is getting to the basket. So I think Dagnall will make those adjustments. Pelicans coming down from a high. I think Oklahoma City rolls.
So if you had asked me as I was watching Chet Holmgren's college career end at Gonzaga, if this was at all in the realm of possibility, I would have told you you're full of shit. And then he misses an entire season.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This is one of the most phenomenal. Like, it's not so much how he's playing. It's like how
he's
athletic.
Got a dog and
like,
in him.
Yeah, like he just seemed like he was going to be a soft, fragile, like
no, big I guy. Mean, well, and the, and again, the fact that he missed an entire season with like a weird foot injury
that probably helped him. Honestly, had time to lift.
And those guys are still growing too, which is insane. I mean, him and Wemby. Honestly, I was kind of skeptical just because they're these tall freaks, and it's like so hard for them to stay healthy.
I just lost bets on fading Wemby's points, rebounds, and blocks per game average. He went over all three.
I know, dude. He was a machine. I mean, he was right there in the mix for defensive player of the year. I mean, I don't think he's gonna get it, but the fact that he was like second or third guy. I mean, hats off to him. I was skeptical, and you know, knock on wood, they both stay healthy. Because, yeah, watching those two guys play, you think you know a fire might break out. You got two sticks rubbing up against each other, but it's fun basketball.
When the aliens come, we'll be safe, Sean. We'll be safe.
They're not going to pick us.
If Wemby does win that defensive player of the year, we might take the whole company out to circle.
Oh, all right. You got some.
I'm loaded up on like 100, 75, 60.
Oh,
like
wow.
anything over 10, like hitting it every chance I can get. Because you gotta think, like, he was kind of injured at one point in time. They were kind of fluctuating with his minutes, so he didn't know if he was gonna be like, meet the threshold, like games wise. But I mean, you could just tell from the effect that he had whenever he was playing that, like, guys were turning down layups, one on five. Like it was just too much. So, if he wins, it's gonna be a good day.
I mean, that's hey, I love it. Everyone needs their Kyle Juszczyk moment. Shout out to Kyle Juszczyk, who signed this helmet right here.
Yep. Thank All right, you. Lante, appreciate you calling in. Make sure you check out Lante over on XXXLanteXX and check him out over on the NBA Gambling Podcast. Appreciate it, Lante. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas. Good luck.
And of course, a shout out to Unified. That's right. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a world-class podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being. Proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the NBA Draft. NFL Draft. Obviously, you got to be in peak physical and mental conditioning. They ask you all those crazy questions. Although I miss that. I feel like we haven't heard those recently where – what was the one like they asked the guy if his mom was a prostitute? I feel like they've gotten away from those questions. I always miss those. But Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is both easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No materials or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking the new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Kramer, favorite draft props by position. This is a fun way to, again, we're just keep re-chopping it up. Check out the, what is this? Our fourth edition of the NFL draft.
At
props?
Least I'm the NFL future sheet has,
full disclosure. I was firing on more stuff today. And then I'm like, have to click through the site I was using. They don't have like some search thing. And I'm like, shit, did I already bet this? Did I bet this through one of my guys? I got a big portfolio, right?
Sounds like you need a spreadsheet.
Probably.
This is our 10th tab in the 2024 NFL futures.
Yeah.
It is our fourth, maybe fifth draft prop episode. So we've been in it deep. A lot out there. Like you said, we're chopping it up a different way. You were talking about stories about inappropriate questions or hilarious.
Yeah.
Did you not hear the Joe Alt story?
No.
About how there was a GM that was basically trying to, hey, do you have a criminal record? And he's like, no. And then basically pivoted to a bully tactic of being like, oh, you're a goody two shoes. Which, I mean,
never got arrested, pussy.
That is a total football guy move, though. Like, yeah, I'm not looking at you, Dan Campbell, but all right.
I wonder what GM said.
He did not. He was talking to a friend of the program, Chris Long, over on the Green Light Pod. Which, by the way, I would say, not a full time listener of the pod, but draft season, the lot of players, so you get a lot of interviews directly from the horse's mouth, as they say. All right, what's your favorite quarterback prop?
Favorite quarterback prop. Now, if you look at my mock draft for the number two quarterback, I did go Jaden Daniels, but I think there is enough uncertainty in the number two pick. One, because it's a new head coach, new ownership. My thing is, I think they're going to play it conservative and go with Jaden Daniels, because if you look at like Commanders subreddit and stuff like that, or any of the, you know, the Redskins social media, they're going to be so pissed if they don't draft Jaden Daniels. I think Josh Harris is going to feel like he needs to appease the crowd.
He doesn't care. Do you think he cares?
I think so. Yeah.
I guess you would know better than I.
No, he always does the popular thing. So, but that being said, we don't know. It's a complete unknown. So if you can get JJ McCarthy at 11-1, I think it's still a decent bet here, because I think two right now, as we tape this, Ryan, is still a bit of a wild card, and enough people have said enough good things about JJ McCarthy, that I think you can build a case for it. Certainly at 11-1, I think it's worth a small sprinkle there.
Yeah, I did basically the same thing. I just made it a trifecta and said that the smoke about Drake May being teams be souring on him because of his need for development, JJ McCarthy finds his way up because of what we've heard, which is NFL teams find him fancier than everyone else. And, you know, I think the reason people have started to hone in on this, and I do think we'll see the price move, is because there's still all this reporting that no one actually knows what Washington's going to do. And although a friend of the program, Sully, did report that Jaden Daniels was the only one picked up by the coach, if that matters, for the top shot event, which is very awkward.
He couldn't hit the long range targets, and McCarthy was apparently very good with his wedge.
So I think there's a world here where if they go JJ McCarthy, I don't know if it's the Patriots, but someone's taking Jaden Daniels 3. The fact that that's a 20-1 proposition, when I think Jaden Daniels being the second, like it just feels like I'm taking your 11-1 bet. I'm slapping on some heavily juiced favorite activity, and now it's 20-1.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I think if JJ McCarthy goes two, I think three is almost 50-50. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, because I think if Drake May is available at three, I could see. Well, sorry. So if JJ McCarthy goes, if the Patriots have their choice between Jaden Daniels and Drake May, I wouldn't be surprised if they let someone trade up for Jaden Daniels. I think you've heard all this buzz about the Raiders trading up. I think it would be in this situation where Jaden Daniels falls outside of two, and maybe the Patriots are worried about someone trading up and taking Drake May, because I do think the quarterback that the Giants would trade up for is Drake May, and maybe a little bit on the Vikings too. So I think it's probably priced somewhat correctly. To me, the 11-1 McCarthy number two is the simplest monkey wrench to throw things off, and may as well get paid there. And shout out to Steph Smalls in the chat saying, whatever they do, I'll mark it as a bust. Yeah. And the Commanders really set themselves up poorly, because if this quarterback ends up being a bust, and again, he's going to be a Redskins quarterback, so high chance he will be a bust, Ryan, it's all going to come back to this fateful night in Topgolf. We're going to hear all about, the dynamics. It was tainted from the beginning. They're going to blame it on this Topgolf meeting.
It was a bad, you had someone not involved with football make a football. Like I get it. You've owned other sports franchises. You thought an NBA like activity might work for NFL. Doesn't work.
Honestly, my wife watches The Bachelor. This is right out of The Bachelor. They thought they had a one-on-one date. They showed up. It was a group date. Yeah. And he's fucking pissed.
This strikes me as some young upstart HR executive with a good idea.
We'll invite them all. See how they handle it.
Save a couple bucks on the bottom line.
What about running back, Ryan? What do you like in the running back?
I think anytime you can get a position group that's not going to have anyone sniff the first round, you have to play the first running back or the first market. And so for me, I'm going to spray it. I proclaimed in this office, yes, Trey Benson 4-1. Love that price. He's since come all the way down to almost even money. Boomerang back to +320. So I can tell you today, go grab that. I'm also going to add Marshawn Lloyd to that 9-1. I just think there's enough variance. I don't think it's so certain that it's Brooks or Benson at the top. I think I would be fine if you wanted to sprinkle any of the top five guys. I think you gotta play into the variance of the running back market here, because the first guy might not go until the end of the second round.
Yeah, and to me, I'm with you on the variance idea. I'm taking Blake Corum 5-1. Small sprinkle here, first running back selected. One, I do think the Chargers could take him first.
No, not at five.
Not at five. No. Come on, that's crazy.
No.
But the Chargers love running the football. And yep, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah had a great analogy. I was listening to him. Him and Todd McShay probably are the sharpest guys, at least like breaking it down with a mix of like kind of actually talking to these guys and being plugged in. And he had a great analogy. He goes, when Harbaugh got to Stanford, it was all these high flying passing offense, you know, Oregon, USC. How did he compete? He turned Stanford into a smash mouth program.
Smash!
And somewhat too, I mean, again, that 49ers team that went to the Super Bowl, same type of thing. Smash mouth football, Ryan. And
if you remember, it was all about Vernon Davis. Like, that was the explosive player on the team.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick. I mean, their offense was so good, they still got people pretending like Colin Kaepernick should be back in the league.
Whoa.
Smash mouth football, Ryan. And now you bring in Greg Roman again, just a guy who could have drawn.
Where'd he coach recently?
Lamar Jackson. Like it just makes so much sense. The run heavy offense. So I love the long shot stuff of them drafting offensive linemen. I love the long shot stuff of them drafting running backs. And yeah, he said like, hey, Stanford, he had success competing against high flying offenses, a la the Kansas City Chiefs. How are you going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? The entire time the Chargers have been trying to out Kansas City, the Chiefs. Bad we're going to get Herbert. We're going to get Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. We're going to throw all over the place. You can't beat the Chiefs that way, Ryan. You can beat them with bully ball. Harbaugh looked at that plan and said, you know what? Fuck this. We're going to run it down their throats. We're going to beat them up. And that's what I'm leaning into draft wise. Now, maybe they just take, maybe Marvin Harrison's there. They take him. Fine. I think there's enough doubt that some of these other stuff has value, but the Blake Corum thing as a sidebar, I think he's interesting enough at 5-1.
So basically we just like Jalen Wright will now be the first guy. Somehow he'll find his way. Cause by the way, Jonathan Brooks is now back to being the chalk. So, I guess you take something from that, but maybe we need to add Jalen Wright to our portfolio. So we don't completely know. All right. A wide receiver. We're going to talk about the same guy.
Yep. I have Xavier Worthy going in the first round, but I think there's only a couple teams that he could go to. So it's not a lock by any means. I did put him in my mock and I had him going to the Dallas Cowboys. It makes a ton of sense to me. And you can get Xavier Worthy to be drafted by the Dallas Cowboys at 14-1. The idea is, hey, they're slow rolling the CeeDee Lamb contract. They're slow rolling this Dak Prescott contract. They have a lot of issues. They're up against it with the cap. I mean, they let Amari Cooper go for nothing. They need skill players desperately to, they need skill players desperately to compete, and especially that you're on rookie contracts. They need cheap skill players for this offense. Xavier Worthy, I could see them falling in love with his speed. He's 14-1. I think it checks a lot of boxes here for the Dallas Cowboys. I also think, Ryan, you gave out Cowboys to have a running back first. Mm-hmm. They love that Brooks kid. Now I do think
they like Benson more. I would put money.
Cause I do think the Cowboys are drafting a running back in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
Maybe we get lucky and they trade down, or maybe
that would be electric.
Maybe
that 100-1. Let's go. Yeah.
I mean, or maybe, you know, Jerry Jones rips the card out of Stephen Jones' hands and runs it up to the podium. Although he doesn't run. Remember when he called in from his yacht for the NFL draft? That was pretty badass.
Pandemic was an awkward time. We learned too much.
I've been sequestered to my yacht. We're all in this together.
We just learned too much about certain people.
So team to draft Xavier Worthy. I think the Cowboys have a real shot here at 14-1. What do you like, Ryan?
I think you're crazy to think he's going to go in the first round. He's 5'11", 165. I understand speed is speed.
Just takes one.
Speed is speed. I
don't think he's going to be good, Ryan. That's why I have the Cowboys
draft limit bet over 31.5 draft position. So I actually technically it could be 32. Which I thought was a gift, because I think a lot of people do have him getting mocked to the Chiefs in the 32nd pick. So to go
that's the fantasy people though.
I agree to go over 31.5 at a normal betting price, not having to lay some stupid juice, -110. Let's go. Xavier Worthy, not a first rounder.
Okay. What about tight end? Obviously Brock Bowers, they don't even have the first tight end market available. Second tight end market to me is pretty interesting, because I think I wouldn't go chalk, especially stuff like tight end or in this case, second tight end, which almost certainly is going to be in the second round. There's so much that can happen between when Brock Bowers gets drafted and when the second tight end gets drafted. I think you're better off looking to some of these dogs here. Who do you like, Ryan? And you talked me into this guy.
Yeah. So, and funny enough, I sent you this really awesome visualization of like the draft prospects, who, by the way, the person who posted this awesome thing got, banned from this subreddit, probably for self-promotion. Basically it highlights the position. It's a position in round grid, and it, you know, helps you see in these positions where there's really a crapshoot. So when you take Brock Bowers out of this, we're back to another running back market, type situation, maybe a safety market where the first pick is going to be so late. The natural variance of, like Sean said earlier, just takes one team. And so the handicap of this market early in the process, Sean, I don't know if you remember, we talked a little about Johnson, the kid from Penn State, big time athletic freak, but yeah, the production wasn't really there. I think everyone's getting excited about Ben. I think it's Sanat out of Kansas State. He might be the best like all around tight end, but
he doesn't have much of a ceiling.
He's not the guy that someone's going to reach for in the second round. I think he's certainly an interesting pick in fantasy, cause he's probably going to find his way on the field. I think there was some early activity on the kid. I'm blanking on his name, Stover, but he seems to, the odds suggest that he's no longer part of the mix. And so you circle back on what the odds are today, Sean. And basically Johnson and the kid out of Texas, Sanders, are both 3-1. And when I look at this, you have one kid who laid out a ton of production at Texas, competing for catches from Worthy, who we just talked about, and Mitchell, another potential first round receiver. And then you have Johnson, who's the classic Penn State tight end. I believe he might even transfer from ODU, who's just got all this like physical ability, but there was no production because who knows, but Penn State hasn't tried to have a good offense in years. So when I'm looking at those two side by side, I see no reason to think a team isn't going to take Sanders first. He has the athletic profile.
Yeah.
He has the production
and he's got the swag. If you go on his Twitter, his Jatavion Sanders, his profile is just 5-star and it's star most targets without a drop last season at the tight end position, Ryan. Jatavion Sanders, he has the ceiling.
All right.
And he has,
here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to take a Colby Dant a week of Colby Dant salary on this.
Our new units is just Colby's salary.
This might have to be a decent sized bet here. I like this one a lot.
Okay. No, just I'm with you.
It's the only bet we completely agree on. 3-1 still. I do think he should be emerging as the favorite. He's the second favorite, tied with Johnson. He and Sanat is ahead of him. So I don't know. I don't get it. Seems off.
What if he
just takes one though? Just takes one.
There's some buzz, and by that I mean people responding to his tweets saying Houston Texans for Tavion Sanders ride.
Stick around, local kid. Play. Hey, what stay do you in think? Texas.
Texans don't have a first round pick. What do you think the Texans to select a tight end first overall is?
I mean, they have some tight ends on the team.
They have Dalton Schultz.
They paid Dalton Schultz.
Yeah,
but that wouldn't stop a team that is running a Shanahanian style offense, because they always love to have a big slot, someone athletic that can kind of
slot. How's the slot?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they're what are the odds?
66-1.
Oh wow. Okay. Should we,
I think we gotta get some work in tomorrow. Yeah, morning.
Long shot stuff only.
Yeah.
We're done with the favorites. Long shot stuff only. Offensive line. What's your favorite? Well, actually let me go first. Your stuff's way longer than mine. I've already.
That's what she said, right?
I've already picked up. Much like Lante, I've been pounding the Fuaga first offensive lineman market for a while now. It's all the way out to 16-1. So let's just keep doing that. But you can also include JC Latham in the portfolio for 14-1. I like the idea of getting both these guys. Sean, who maybe alt falls, it does seem less and less likely. But I don't know what's changed. I know nothing that's changed, but all of a sudden we feel more and more strongly that Alt's going to be the first guy. I mean, he's a fucking nerd who never even got in trouble with the police. Never got caught with a gun at a parade like Malik Nabers.
Well,
how come no one's talking about this?
That one's definitely slipped through the cracks, Ryan.
And if you look, per other people's reporting or investigating,
the heat is in the hat. We're going to the parade.
It seems very likely he was given special privileges because he was a member of the football team at Louisiana State. I'm not saying that, but others.
So you're saying there's some sort of corruption down in Louisiana?
Anyway, Latham, Fuaga, let's fade Alt being the first guy. 14-1 for Latham, Fuaga 16-1.
So two markets I've been leaning into is the number four, number five spot that Joe Alt maybe goes there. Again, he's like 80-1 to go to the Cardinals, which I think is crazy. But also now with this Latham steam, I'm going to take a little bit of JC Latham at the number four pick as well. 100-1. The Cardinals brought him in for a visit.
Yeah.
So
that's always interesting.
Yeah. I mean, why would they be doing that unless they're really considering taking him this high? Now, maybe, certainly, okay. Maybe they think they can get him at 23, or maybe they just say screw it. Maybe they can't find. I just don't think them locking in Marvin Harrison is quite so.
I don't think it is at all, and we watched that.
That's
alpha fucking GM. He wants to fucking wheel.
He's
and deal.
Wheeling and dealing.
So that guy. Well, he's
maybe they trade
hard.
Down. Maybe they don't. But maybe it's as simple as, hey, we want to get out of the first round with a really good offensive lineman and a really good receiver. They're at four. Maybe they don't like Harrison as much as everyone thinks. Maybe they want to protect Kyler Murray. So I got Joe Alt covered. I got JC Latham. I got Fulaga covered. Watch, it'll be like Lashanu or something. But. I think them
going, I don't think so.
Them staying put, like maybe they can't. The fact that they're telling everyone the number of trade offers they've gotten to me means they're not happy with the current trade offer out there. So maybe they just say screw it. They take an offensive lineman there, and they know they have a second pick in the later round. They could get the third or fourth receiver there.
They put out a dramatic video of Monty Austin Fort looking like a fucking badass wheeling and dealing last year. Why do you do that? You want to make sure everyone knows that you're going to do the same thing this year.
And
by the way, I want to watch the draft day sequel should have Monty Austin for it as this fuck Kevin Costner. Get this guy in here. He's the man.
And him to go number five as well. I think the Chargers are in play to hang around and just take an offensive lineman. So number four, Latham to go 4 and 5. It's 100 to 1 and 28 to 1. Again, you know, just sprinkle in some more long shot stuff here as we close it out.
It's a good pick. You got a lot of coverage there. And fun fact, he was a temporary host of the popular student radio program Sports Show Sunday mornings, KUMM 89.7, the U90 alternative at University of Minnesota Morris back in the year 2000. That was Monte Austin for. I'm really into this guy right now. Wish I could get a GM's jersey. All right, Sean.
Yes.
D line. Oh, I lied earlier. We have two of the same. D line edge. You were on this earlier than I was. I regretfully did not
should
bet
I,
this
should
early.
I give out the price I bet it at, Ryan? It was plus 550. It's all the way down to 280.
And I feel like when you first brought this up, the price was even longer, like 10 to 1.
Yeah.
So hopefully someone got on it early. But even at plus 280, it does. This feels like one of the stronger locks of the draft. Like if we wake up on draft day and Byron Murphy is the favorite, like minus odds to be the first defensive player, first defensive lineman, I don't think that would surprise me.
It's too much heat, Ryan, to not have it mean something. Yeah. And when you're betting this, make sure you take Byron Murphy first defensive lineman. Cause in some places, like you're comparing, it's actually a better price than first defensive player drafted. Now
that makes no sense.
It probably will be a defensive player, but you never know. Maybe one of these teams fall in love with Quinyon Mitchell or something like that.
It's not though, right?
Yeah, it does. It does seem everyone's writing in Dallas Turner to go to to the Falcons at number 8. I'm super skeptical.
A lot of people have pointed out that it doesn't really make a ton of sense.
No, and I do think the other guy that's steaming up the board is Latu, Latu, because of he was originally falling because of some neck stuff, but now it seems to be leaking out that his medicals are cleaner. And again, medical stuff is tough because one doctor can say one thing on a team and another could say another thing. He does have a connection to the Falcons coaching staff. So Latu to go first defensive player, not horrible either, but I'll stick with Byron Murphy, first defensive lineman selected. Feels like a good play there.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page there.
I'm going back to the well. I'm doing the math here. I have three separate bets at 100 to 1, I think, of what the Chargers are going to do. I have multiple different places.
This is going to be pretty hilarious.
So I have them to draft a quarterback first overall, just in case Antonio Brown's right. That's like $10 to win $1,000 with the Justin Herbert trade. And then I have a higher amount at 100 to 1 of them to take a running back. And then I'm also going to take their first pick to be a linebacker. Again, he is old school football through and through. And there's a linebacker, Ryan Cooper,
The A&M kid.
Yes, the Texas A&M kid that the Chargers had in for a draft visit. Everyone has. It's funny, like everyone has the Chargers trading down, but then you look at the odds and it all reflects them still picking at number 5. So something has to give here. Why not lean into the craziness? Again, I could see them taking him late in the first round. The other bet that I don't have on the sheet here technically, but I do think even the Lions to draft a linebacker first, cause they're late first round. That could be interesting. That's sitting at 50 to 1, some places. So I'll officially give it out here. Chargers 100 to 1.
But so if the Chargers take it, you think they wouldn't take the kid that he coached, Colson?
Well, that's also true. They might do that. And so again, it's first pick linebacker. So you don't really have to think which one it's going to be.
So I didn't really have a strong take on this one, but I started looking at diving into the numbers. It seems so. Peyton Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper are just by far the type of like, okay, well, and they're also, they're freaky, they're twitchy or whatever.
Now a couple other teams that seem interested in Cooper is the Packers. They've had him in, and the Cowboys as well. you know, like Cowboys to draft a linebacker first. Isn't that crazy? It's like 4-1, 5-1. I'll take the crazy shot here on the Chargers. Again, I think I'm leaning into the unknown here. You don't know what Harbaugh's going to do here. It's a madman.
Well, I think you're right to say, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I just wanted to confirm that Peyton Wilson had suffered some serious injuries before, two torn ACLs. Why aren't we just smashing? Harbaugh's probably the reason why, but if again you look at everything, it seems like Edgerrin Cooper is clearly the guy, plus 115 still.
Yeah, no, first linebacker.
Yeah,
shop around because I just saw that at plus 150.
Oh, perfect.
So give yourself that, Ryan.
Wait, did I say 115?
No, you said 150.
Oh, 150.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems fairly consensus, and
because the other guys seem to have the area where it got, again, I hadn't looked at this market at all. Really. It seems like there are decent question marks about a lot of the other guys. And the only thing keeping this market down is that Harbaugh coached one of the guys who could take over that top spot. So, all right. Cornerback.
What do you got here, Ryan?
One of the big things that you will find out when you read my mock draft is that the Broncos will be drafting a cornerback.
Oh, wow.
Plus 370.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, my God.
Because it's the third long shot in terms of the position that they're going to take. We originally, on our mock draft episode, even talked about them taking D line, and I do think that's probably the second favorite for me. But the more that I looked at this, the more that they have done a lot of work on the cornerbacks. They really like kid out of Alabama, Arnold, who I think you're going to talk about.
Yep.
And so maybe we're kind of talking about the same thing in a different way. I'm going to take the plus 370 Broncos, kick off their first round. And really, they don't have a second round pick. So cornerback for the Broncos in the first round, about 15th pick or whatever they have.
Yeah, no, I get the case again. Sean Payton, I think I ended up going. What do we do in our mock draft for the show?
We went D line. We went Latu.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna confirm on my mock draft.
And what did we learn about Latu? He played. So Jimmy Lake is the D coordinator for the Falcons. He was up in Washington with Latu.
Yeah.
Before Latu transferred to UCLA.
So I have Dallas Turner falling a little bit, and I have him in my mock going to the Broncos there at 12.
Okay.
You look at Sean Payton's history in the Saints. A lot of it was going D line in that first round. You know, like Cam Jordan, guys like that, that they've kind of built the defense around. So I wouldn't. If he's not and I think he knows he can probably get Bo Nix in the second, maybe do a little maneuvering. So yeah, I had him going Dallas Turner there.
Payne's team had a lot of good cornerbacks too.
It's true. Yeah. The things I learned from digging in on Payton's draft history, it was cornerback, D line and receiver. I don't think they go receiver, but I think cornerback at plus 370. Don't hate that at all. You know, right now, Quinion Mitchell out of the MAC is the consensus first cornerback selected. I like taking a Terrion Arnold, the Alabama cornerback. I think he's going to be consensus. He's going to be drafted ahead of Kool-Aid McKinstry, the other Alabama cornerback. Right now, you can get Terrion Arnold to be plus 115. I think there still is. I understand Quinion Mitchell tape looks great. He is an athletic freak, but again. And I think he could be a very good player. There's rumors that the Eagles are going to be trading up to get Quinion Mitchell. I'm a little skeptical. One, the Eagles haven't drafted a cornerback first since 2002. Although I think if there was a year for them to do it, it might be this year. Two, they didn't bring in Quinion Mitchell on a visit. All their other first round picks, with the exception of Andre Dillard, who fell to them, obviously they regret drafting him. They had in for their first round visits, including to look at like Jordan Davis was the first guy they had a visit with, and then immediately draft him. So they do kind of tip their hand a little bit with the visit. Now, maybe it's a smoke screen because they're going to go offensive line. It did seem like O-line and cornerback. Those were the positions they talked to the most. I still think there's value in the Eagles going D line at plus 220 if they can't find that perfect window to trade up. Cause they do love themselves some edge pass rushers, but getting back to Tyrion Arnold, him to be the first cornerback selected. He's an SEC guy. He's an Alabama guy. I know there's maybe a little stigma with some Alabama cornerbacks, but these GMs, a lot of that, there's certainly some new school analytics guys, but you're using that first round pick. Would you rather go Mac or SEC Alabama? I mean, again, I'm just looking at it from what I've seen up close and studied the most. Howie Roseman used to get really cute, used to draft players from the ACC. Oh, hey, I went to Florida, I'm going to draft Riley Cooper, who underrated actual receiver. Not a great guy. But then Chip Kelly got him sent. Well, what? You think that's shocking to say a guy who screams the N-word's a bad guy?
Turning on a great Eagle.
No, he I thought as a player, he was kind of underrated, but obviously not a great individual. Now, he was getting cute. He would never take the guys everyone wanted, and he started drafting guys from the SEC, Ryan. He got himself out of that equipment locker that Chip moved his office to. That was an all-time petty move, having Howie Roseman be demoted to some like small office that was like where they kept the balls and stuff. And he just, to Howie Rosen's credit, he just locked himself in there, studied his ass off, learned from other. I don't think he would have been a great GM, honestly, without that humbling experience. He came out of the equipment room, and he's been drafting studs ever since. For the most part, he's gotten way better at drafting post equipment room lock-in, right?
He's literally
they do is draft Georgia guys, Alabama guys, and I think that mindset is pervasive in the league. So I think Tyrion Arnold at +115, long way to get there with some Howie Roseman nuggets in there, but Tyrion Arnold +115.
Those odds have swapped. I have Mitchell at basically that same. I think +125 when Arnold was the favorite. So a little tout for myself. Fun fact: I just stumbled into some specials.
Oh wow!
Caleb Williams nail polish. Will the number one pick?
yes, bet online.
Mom is +125 for the first pick.
Oh, who he thinks?
Who he hugs?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking. Now, is the lady who does his nails going to be there?
I don't know. Yeah, but you can get the
color. Again, shout out to Steph Smalls. Sorry, in the chat, she was chiming in on what the colors would be. Don't you have to go orange or like blue for the Bears?
I don't know how that works.
You don't know how nail polish?
I can't put in. I can't get in the mindset. I would think you'd want to match, but who knows? I don't know.
Well, they are going to be announcing the Dome Stadium. It's really.
Oh wow.
I mean, hopefully Colby doesn't look at social media, but
he's Ryan, probably going to be upset.
A Bears quarterback who paints his nails and plays in a dome. I mean, Colby's going to have a heart attack, right? We might have to.
But he's also really good. Colby is Colby is on team. People that think Caleb Williams isn't the best guy this year are stupid.
Yeah, I think if you're saying Caleb Williams isn't gonna, the only thing he,
looking at you, Dan Orlovsky.
The only thing he doesn't have going for him is the Bears are drafting him. Other than that, he should have a very successful career. And in my mock draft, I know we didn't really talk about it, but Odunze to go to the Bears at number 9. I mean, how do you sell a dome stadium to the Chicago taxpayers? You get a sexy ass quarterback and you get a sexy ass receiving prospect.
He's kind of the thick like bruiser of the
bunch. Just saying.
Maybe it's Brock Bowers.
Oh, it could.
Caleb Williams and Brock Bowers, like the what's the Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan like going to the club bit. Those guys at the club doing the that works.
Shout
Brock
out to
Bowers is probably. I mean, the chance that Brock Bowers is just some like hilarious soft. I don't want him to be white really Kyle Pitts, but he might be white Kyle Pitts.
The most unfortunate thing that ever happened to Brock Bowers is that he was photographed next to Gronk.
Roxbury. That's the Caleb Williams and Brock Bowers.
Ryan, we should compare my photo next to Gronk with Brock Bowers' photo next to Gronk. I think I actually stack up better than Brock Bowers.
Oh, that would be funny. But what we should do is swap the heads. That would even be funnier.
I can see what people say. This photo of Brock Bowers next to Gronk, he really looks small.
That's actually funnier. Just post nothing but pictures of Brock Bowers looking small next to other things.
I mean, and he's wearing these like black dress shoes.
Put him next to the Allen Iverson statue. Make him look small next to the small statue. All right. One more, Sean.
Yes.
We can get to the finish line. Safety, which they slow rolled on me. Sean, how long have I been screaming about wanting this first safety market?
You've been screaming a long time. Ryan, is
what?
I'm going to send you a photo, or should I send it? Is producer Josh around
Josh
to pull this
here.
Up?
Yeah.
All right, Josh, I'm going to Slack you the photo of me and Gronk.
Oh, boy.
And feel free to, if you can find the Brock Bowers photo as a comparison, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. I feel like I hold my own against old Gronk here.
Yeah, compared to Brock Bowers or just in general?
Well, I did play catch with Gronk a lot. He thought my 3-point stance was pretty sweet.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, come on. I'm hanging with Gronk.
Wait, I mean that is that not Brock? But yeah, get Brock Bowers on Sean's head right now.
Oh yeah, if Jake's listening, this is a great Photoshop opportunity. Like, wow, Brock looks so small compared to Gronk.
And the everything about the picture.
Working with Gronk was truly amazing. I mean, the most fun part, besides he was just Pavlovian, like a yellow lab. You just pick up a football and he's like, yeah, we were going to play catch. Is that like, and his brothers were hanging out a lot. He has this guy that works with him called Goon. Who's like his guy, you know, Goon was a character. A lot of that's not suitable for air, but yeah, if you run into me in Vegas, I'll tell you some Goon stories. But like watching the Gronk family and you know, his brothers look like almost replicas of Gronk, but just like, almost like 10% less, you know, yeah. Like they if you're doing a creative player,
it's
like
a breeding experiment,
instead of Gronk being a 99, it's like an 89 where it's like, you see all this stuff, but it's not quite there. But they would just at craft services, they would just get these monster plates of food and then just, they would be like locked in just like, oh. It's just, I mean, they would inhale food and Gronk. Great guy to work with, super fun to work with, very easy compared to like some guys way less famous than him. His one request was they always had to have a pizookie, which is the pizza cookie. So it was awesome working with Gronk because every meal had a
pizookie. That's his only rider.
That was the only thing in his rider. You have to have a pizookie for Rob.
How did I not know that? That's hilarious.
It's great. I didn't even know what a pizookie was until Rob insisted that, and he wasn't a diva about it. They're just like, what do you want for lunch? And it was always a pizookie. No. Which if you don't know, it's basically a pizza sized cookie tray of cookie, which is a great invention, but, and also
giant cookie.
Pizookie is a funny word. I had never heard it before working with Gronk. So thank you, Gronk. And thank you for the autographed football. It sits right over here. Ryan,
shout out to Gronk. Last one.
Sorry,
safety.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I've been clamoring for the safety market because I knew there were a couple guys. So it's another market where I don't think anyone is very certain on when the first one will be taken. I know there's been some buzz on the safety out of it's Minnesota. I feel like I keep screwing this up, but. But I don't like, when is he really going to go, Sean? Like, which team is getting the safety? You think not in the first round, the league's kind of agreed that safeties don't go in the first round anymore.
After digging through so many mocks, it's like maybe like the 49ers, if a safety does go, and I don't know what the over under is, but it's probably, I'm going to pull up the consensus stuff, but there's that safety out of Minnesota who I've seen mocked to some teams late in the first round. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's not a lot of
all right, so Tyler Newbin, who I get it, but I think the earliest they go, or Tyler Newbin, any safety, probably their ceiling is in the early to mid second round, in my opinion. So you have Newbin, who I think is the consensus number one. You have Jaden Hicks, who a guy I listened to, who like a film guy, he said in multiple games it appeared like he was benched for poor effort. That like, that strikes me as maybe a guy that will miss some guys' boards.
Well, but also too, like if you're a team drafting a safety early, that's not the type of guy you're drafting.
There's question about the safety from Georgia, who's another one who's in the mix. And then you go watch Cole Bishop. Go watch Cole Bishop play football. He's very interesting to me. He very much is in the mix to be the first guy. Absolutely. He's 15-1, Sean. And again, played at Utah. Go watch him play. To me, he could be the best safety in the bunch here. The reason I'm deep into the safeties, the Giants could take a safety with their second round pick around this pick 50 range. Another one, 16-1. Cam Kitchens, Miami.
Yeah.
Classic, didn't test well, maybe a little slow on the track, but it's like the mental processing speed. He was a stud at Miami. I think there was at some point he was potentially going to be maybe a late first round pick. And so to see him here being able to be offered at 16-1, I'm going to snag both of those guys in the first safety market. Cause I don't think any of these guys, I don't think any of the guys at the top are a lock to go any sooner. And so if the first safety also could maybe be in the, it wouldn't be shocking to me if it's like at the very end of the second round. And so much variance. Take the 15 and 16-1 shot with Cole Bishop and Cam Kitchens.
Yeah, you're talking me into it.
Well, it's a variance play. It's another market where the first one, like what, 45 dominoes have to fall first, at least. It just takes one.
And again, first pick for the Texans. We already talked about tight end is kind of a fun long shot there at 66-1. Safety is a real need for them. You obviously have a defensive minded head coach. They did a lot of moves in the offseason for offense. They don't have a first round pick.
I love this pick.
Texans to go safety is 5-1. And a lot of mocks I read about the Texans have them starting off with the safety. So that to me feels like a somewhat safe play. I mean, everything you bet on the Texans position wise is plus money, starting with offensive line, but that's only 2-1. I think Texans to take a safety. And the consensus actually is the Minnesota safety at 42. But again, who knows what they do here? It's a crapshoot. They also like Javon Bullard, apparently, according to some mocks. So I'm with you, Ryan. Like safety is a real crapshoot. So
I think just in general, you got to go after this. But yeah, I mean, I do think Sean Cole Bishop has a certain kind of a white guy swagger that you would appreciate. Yeah.
Ladd McConkey vibes.
I would say Ladd's probably a better athlete, but yeah, just one of those gritty safeties, you know? And by the way, the Texans have done work on a bunch of the safeties. I even read it. I was reading something about them in the context of Cole Bishop. So when I was looking at the Cole
Bishop stuff. And I looked at their visits.
I believe he was one of their, they either met with him at the combine or it was a visit.
Yeah. Like their visits, a lot of them were safeties. And again, it's second round. So visits there are kind of a crapshoot. I think it's like the higher up you go on the draft board, the more the visits mean something. Again, it is a team by team thing. And Brad Ward, shout out to Brad Ward, all eyes on Cleveland, who don't have a first round, thanks to their good buddy Deshaun Watson, pointing out that sometimes
I'm not touching Deshaun Watson.
They use it a little bit as a smokescreen. I think it's dependent on the history of the GM, the owner, who's actually with the card.
Yeah, I think some teams actually use it.
Well, in the Eagles, again, just because I know them the best, they use it not only for their first round pick, but also the guys they end up trading for down the line. AJ Brown was a guy they had a top 30 visit with. Like a lot of these other guys that they brought in from other teams.
Oh, you liked them before. What changed, you know?
And Belichick was notorious for that. Like not only using it for guys they want to get more intel on, but guys that they think they're going to play or guys that they may end up trying to get for, you know, acquire later on. So next level thinking, Ryan. Next level thinking.
You got to get your hands on the product, you know?
Yep. Feel around, check out the product.
See if it's some good shit. Imagine Bill Belichick taking a knife into some cocaine, testing it out.
Good.
That's Chris Hogan good.
Make sure you tune into our draft watch party. Gonna be having some cocktails, NFL draft bingo.
Yes.
It's free. Why would you not sign up for it? It's pretty fun. Basically, you're given a board with like.
Don't explain bingo to people.
Yeah. Well, it's NFL draft prop bingo. And if he obviously if you get the bingo, you get a $100 SGPN gift card. It's free in the app. The app is also free. Good way to listen to all the podcasts, get all the picks, SGPN in all the app stores there. And tomorrow, Ryan, what are we doing? UFL?
We are doing UFL with Colby tomorrow. We'll see how that goes.
UFL, that pile of trash. But you guys aren't trash. You guys are awesome. Appreciate everyone tuning in.
And thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Yeah. Last note, the watch party, we will put it out on the podcast feed. So
yes,
should be entertaining. At least some of the picks
it will unravel as things go on
there. I would say there's a lot of people booked. A lot of people will be on when the Giants are picking. So
yeah,
what could possibly go wrong?
Giants fucking up. I think Giants, because of how high they draft Ryan, it's the most pressure. Or maybe they trade down
with Minnesota, get Odunze plus maybe a cornerback, maybe Newton later on in the first round.
I do like Newton. He's also a guy that's given out some fun long shots on. All right. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean stacking the money green. He's Ryan.
Good show, Sean.
Kramer, let it ride.